Happy Sabbath.
Oh, that's loud. So it's great to be here. I hadn't been here for a while. I've been here a couple of times, and that was before you guys had this new addition, and it looks beautiful. Wow, I was amazed. I was like, this is good. And it's great to be here, and as the choir prepares to ascend, I'm not going to talk to you about theological issues, because there's here someone better to do that, and he'll do that when it's his time. But I want to talk about this hymn that we're going to do, and it's a hymn. Does it say here? It doesn't say. Good. It's a hymn that I think we all love, and I think it goes beyond just the music, the melody, and the harmony. I think it is about the lyrics, and it's Be Thou My Vision. And I think it's something that we really want. We really want to say, Lord, be thou my vision. But there's so many things that sometimes get in the way. It can be work, it can be relationships, it can be school, and I think we know about that. And those who know me know that in this last year, I've been really stressed and overwhelmed as I try to figure out what's going to happen next fall. Because I'm graduating soon, in a couple of months, and I'm finishing my music degree and trying to figure out what comes next. And I'm making my plans, and I'm preparing, and I applied to grad school. Several grad schools, I did the best I could. But things haven't gone the way I expected. Or, I mean, maybe I expected it to not go that well. But every time that I heard back from a school telling me, we cannot give you an audition, it was like, I don't know, it doesn't only make me wonder what I'm going to do next fall, but I think those problems always bring deeper questions. And we start to ask about our own worth. Am I worth something? Like, can I actually do this? Am I able to do, like, why? Why did God put me here? Why am I doing music if I'm not good enough? And then you start to look at the people around you, and I start to look at my classmates and musicians that I knew, and we're like, they're so talented. How can I even compare to them? How can I do what they're doing? And every letter that I got, every rejection letter, I guess we shouldn't call them that, but that's really how they feel like. And every letter brought the same questions over and over again. And where's Be Thou My Vision? It's hard, you know, sometimes to actually stop and say, Lord, be thou my vision. But every time that it happens, though, throughout all this process, my advisor, my teachers know, like, how sometimes I would be so discouraged and be like, I don't know if I should be doing this. But every time, it was like, as if the Lord sometimes just laughed at me, and in a good way, laughed at me and say, Enrique, just, you're not getting it. Let me show you something. And then something amazing would happen. Not a miracle, but it almost felt like it. We would have a great musical experience. I would make music with some people and be like, I don't know if this is what I need to do, but I'm sure we're having a lot of fun. So I should maybe just focus on God. And I just heard him saying with those moments, he was like, Enrique, you're not getting it. I created music. I give meaning to music. I give power to music. Just look at me. We're not playing this other hymn, but it was as if he was telling me, put your eyes up in Jesus. And then everything was going to be fine. Sure, things are still difficult. I still got those rejection letters. But also good things come. And when you say, Lord, be thou my vision, things just, somehow you gain perspective and you see how all those things are just really small in comparison to God. And this hymn says, heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be my vision, O ruler of all.
Good morning, church. Or afternoon, I should say. So, the song Amazing Grace is one of those songs that I'm not thrilled about. It's it's overplayed and oversung, in my opinion. You know, they sing it at funerals, they sing it at Memorial Day, Veterans Day, they sing it when they have an event that they want, like, it's not necessarily Christian, but they want some sort of Christian perspective, they want God to be there somehow. And I feel like they just overdo it. And so when Dr. Little gave us this piece, Amazing Grace, I was like, well, here we go again. But, you know, we're sight reading it through choir and just singing along, and it's fairly simple so far. And, you know, the words, some of the verses are different than what I usually sing, but, you know, for me, I'm an alto, and it was pretty simple. There was nothing too crazy going on until we got to the last chord. And you guys are going to hear this chord in a few minutes, but it's so good. I love it. When we sang it right after we finished, my friend and I were like, oh my goodness, this is such a good chord. Like, play it at my funeral. That's how much I want it. But the very music of this arrangement that you're going to hear expresses the concept of grace so beautifully. It's simple. And grace is a simple idea. According to Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9, it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it's for the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Basically, God saves us, not because of what we've done, but because of what Jesus did for us. He lived the life that we should live, but none of us can. We're all sinners and imperfect. But he died the death that we deserve to die. And now we have the chance to accept that gift of grace and move with God on our journey and eventually get to heaven. And just like grace, this arrangement, they're almost the same thing. It's simple right up until the end when we all get to heaven. The last verse says, and when this flesh and heart shall fail and mortal life shall cease, at the end of our lives, it's then when we're going to realize how powerful grace is. And at the end of the song, you'll just realize that that's all it is. It is grace.
Good noon and happy Sabbath, everybody. It's good to be here making music for the Lord. Amen. My name is AJ Valson with a V. I come a long ways from that corner of the stage, and temperature is really hot with all the body heat, but I'm here and just here to speak to you all really quick that there is no one like God. He transcends all that he has made. He is more majestic than the great mountain peaks, not here, of course, that rise above the ground. He is more lovely than the beautiful flowers that bloom along the countryside. He is more awesome than the sun as it sets in all its brilliance. He is more diverse than all the trees that fill the forest, that bear fruit in their season and that shade the landscapes of every country path and village square. God's character is the foundation that you build your life upon, the rock that your feet stand upon, and the strong tower that your faith leans upon. God is completely dependable, unshakable, unmovable, and totally reliable. Faith in God's character means that you know the sun still shines, even though there are dark clouds overhead, that the anchor of your soul still holds, even though the storm rages on, that your next step is certain, even though a heavy fog covers your pathway, that comfort will be your portion, even though you are facing a dark valley, that a strong hand is holding yours, even though there is nothing to hang on to as you walk near the mountain's edge. God our Creator, God our Savior, God our Deliverer, God our Provider. There are a myriad of musics composed for our Creator, for everything he has made, everything he has done for us, all of his many miracles, and all of his massive mercy. Praise the Lord, O my soul, with all that is within me, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Do not forget all of his kind deeds. Our Lord transcends all he has made. I find that there is nothing more worthwhile doing on this earth, this transient existence, this temporary world with all its immediate gratification that amounts to nothing more than nothing itself in this sinful and human condition, except to continually praise his name forever. For truly, there is no one like God.
Hello, church family. So good to be here. You guys having a good Sabbath? I'm so glad you guys are here. You know, I love singing choir, and I hope you love it half as much as I do. It's incredible. You know, some of the things we talked about today, be thou my vision. We want to see the world as God sees the world, right? And we talked about how God is a blessing in our lives. I liked what AJ had to say about the Almighty, right? That God is just so incredible. He's more incredible than the flowers that we see in the springtime. Hopefully we'll see them soon, amen? Or the sun that we actually get to see today. God is incredible. But at the end of the day, we look around the world. We look at our own lives. We see what's going on. We see the pain. How many of you guys remember a time where you celebrated the first birthday of a kid in your life? Maybe a little baby, a niece, a nephew, your own child. It's a beautiful thing, right? But then we also know that we've experienced grandparents and family members that we remember their last birthday too, right? So we can talk about how amazing and how almighty and how powerful God is. But what if we just stuck with that? And then the rest of the world out there said, yeah, your God's great. But what about the children that suffer? What about the world that we actually live in? I once heard a quote that said, whatever you believe about God, you better be able to explain it next to a burning pile of children. That was from a Nazi war camp survivor from World War II. Try to explain to them the belief you have about God. Well, to me, I see something that's incredible. You see, our evangelical friends, our Baptist friends, oftentimes focus. They say, Jesus saved us at the cross. And that's true, right? But then we say, okay, I've been saved. Raise your hand if you've been saved, if you believe in Jesus. Raise your hand if you still sin sometimes. Do you see any inconsistencies there? You see, I struggle with my own sin. And if we're real, we wonder sometimes why. Paul said this. 1 Corinthians 15. I declare to you, brothers, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. You see, we know that this sin in us, like I sometimes see a beautiful woman and I think things I shouldn't think. A lot of the men understand what I'm saying. And a lot of the women the other way around. I get angry in cars when I'm driving, and I think things that I didn't say it out loud, amen, but I kind of wanted to. That there's something inside of me that fights against the truth that we've been singing about. But it goes on. I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we will all be changed. Amen? In a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. You see, we believe that until then, we're going to struggle with sin. Our flesh is going to want evil, and we have to give our lives to Jesus, the Almighty, the one that we want to see the world through. Be thou my vision. So until then, until this day, in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound. Amen? Tell somebody next to you, the trumpet will sound. The dead will be raised imperishable. Tell them, the dead will be raised imperishable. Amen. And we will be changed. Tell them, I'm going to be changed. Amen. You see, because what God is doing in our lives today, the beauty that we see around him, that is not the full story. We as Adventists know that one day Jesus will come in the clouds, and all this sin inside of him, this brokenness, this desire, the pain of children, the suffering in the world, God's going to come. And he's going to redeem the lost. This world is not our home. So until then, let's look to Jesus, the hope that we long for. Amen.